on WWGH Radio on June 11th, 2014, the second day the station was on the air, and his three-day-a-week program ran on the station until April the 8th, 2020. Charlie passed away in May of 2020 at the age of 85. In honor of Charlie, we now present the best of the Charlie Evers Show here on WWGH Radio.
Here's our platoon chief, or our brigade chief, excuse me. Go right ahead.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's the chief here with the fire brigade talking sports on a Wednesday night. Had a lot going on this last weekend, some great games to watch. We're going to do a quick rundown of the winners and losers from last weekend, and then we'll get into our picks. Then we'll get into our picks for the coming week. And if you stay tuned towards the end of the program, we're going to have a giveaway, call-in giveaway. So something to look forward to besides listening to some four guys talk about sports. Start off with the Bucks and the Saints game. What did you guys think? What was your big surprise in that Tampa Bay-New Orleans game? Matt?
Buccaneers defense, man. They were stout. Turned the Saints over multiple times and gave the Buccaneers a short field all game long. That defense just played awesome, and that's hands down what won them the football game.
Well, I think that we talked about that last week, that their defense had to play better because they, you know, a Washington team found some holes in that defense, and I agree with you, Matt. I think that was the big question mark, and man, they stepped up. Braden, what's your analysis?
Yeah, I think honestly that defense really helped them out there, but I think also the play of Tom Brady. I know he didn't have a great game with only 199 yards throwing, but he still accounted for 3 touchdowns, and I mean, 0 turnovers. That definitely helps that defense out there, and they really controlled the time possession too, so I think his play definitely helped them win.
Colton?
Yeah, it was a good game, good game to watch, kind of going back and forth there, early on. Those turnovers did really hurt the Saints. The Buccaneers were able to capitalize, on a couple of those interceptions that Brees threw. A lot better improvement for the Buccaneers. They got the win. They're moving on to the NFC Championship.
So real quick, your consensus is, Drew, have we seen the last of Drew Brees in an NFL uniform?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we did.
I would say so. He didn't look so good in that game against the Buccaneers. I'm hearing reports that he was dealing with a torn rotator cuff too, played through that the whole year. Had the injury, earlier in the season with the ribs and the lungs. I think this is the right time to hang up the cleats.
I agree. I think we're consensus on that. I think Drew Brees is done. He's had a great career. Now, obviously a Hall of Fame career. All right, let's move on. The Bills and the Ravens. We said that had to stop Lamar Jackson, and they did. I think the Bills showed that their defense, can step up and play with anybody. That was my big takeaway. They held them to 3 points. I mean, come on, it don't get much better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. That defense, they played stout again, another stout defense there. And I mean, to stop Lamar Jackson from scrambling out of the pocket and getting those extra yards on plays and just keeping them from getting down the field. Though the Ravens also didn't help themselves either. They have 2-3 missed field goals in that game? Yeah. And that could have changed the tide too if they put those through the uprights.
To me, that's kind of been their Achilles heel all year, has been their kicker. I think he's missed a lot of different kicks this year.
Yeah. Braden?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't help out there. I think also Stephon Diggs was an absolute terror. 106 yards and a touchdown. I mean, there's no defense that can really control him right now with 117 yards a game for the past 7. He's on an absolute tear. I just don't think there's anything out there for him.
Yeah, it was definitely an impressive performance by that Bills defense on a night where, the Bills offense really wasn't clicking, quite as well as they usually do. But that defense played well. Held the Ravens to only 150 rushing yards, about 40 yards less than what they're averaging. So, I mean, that was crucial. The defense got, you know, four sacks, had one pick six, 101-yard interception return for a touchdown. That was very key. They limited Lamar Jackson in the pocket and, you know, was able to get the dub and move on to the AFC Championship.
All right. The Rams and the Packers. Braden, you want to lead us off recapping this game?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, holy cow. I figured that Rams would be able to get a little bit of a pressure on him with that front seven they had, but, I mean, that Rams defense was nothing for Aaron Rodgers out there. Devontae Adams looked stellar, 9 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown. I mean, their running attack with Aaron Jones, 99 yards and a touchdown. I think that that offense really showed up this game, and they're definitely going to need it to beat the Bucs next week.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Braden. That Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense, they were hitting on all cylinders and making it look easy. And that's no easy Rams defense they were playing against. That defense has played stellar against some very good opponents this year. And the Packers put up 32 points and just, like I said, made it look easy at times. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers rushed for a touchdown. That's how easy they made it look.
Yeah, no, I finished 2-2 for the week. You know, this is one of the games that I got wrong. That Rams defense really let me down. You know, just too much Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, a three-headed monster on offense. Rams just didn't get enough pressure on Rodgers. He dissected him quite a bit. And, you know, the Rams offense was dysfunctional. You knew it wasn't. They weren't going to be able to put up a ton of points. You know, with the health of Jared Goff, he played, you know, as well as he could. But ultimately, you know, the better quarterback got the win in this matchup.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for reminding me about how we're doing in the picks, fellas. I think I'm smoking all of you. I'm sitting at 8-2 over the last 2 weeks. I missed that Bucs Saints game. Like I said last week, I hate to pick against my boy Tom Brady, and I did, and I shouldn't have. But I gotta agree. Aaron Rodgers is just—I mean, he is in rare form. He just looks destined for a Super Bowl this year. All right, we got to talk about the last game, the game that broke the Ohio's heart. There, the Chiefs and the Browns. You know, I Colton, you said that you thought the fairy tale was, you know, the clock was striking midnight on that Cinderella story, and you were right. So give me your recap on that game, Colton.
My heart goes out to the Browns. You know, I know I picked the Chiefs to win, and, you know, thank goodness, because it, you know, helped. The Chiefs did win, so it made me look somewhat salvageable this week. But, you know, I was rooting for the Browns. I really thought they were going to get it done. You know, they had plenty of opportunities to win that ball game. You know, didn't take advantage. And I think that's, you know, a result of, you know, a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in a long time, or, you know, with a lot of players that don't have playoff experience. They just weren't able to capitalize on a lot of the mistakes the Chiefs made. The Chiefs have that playoff experience. They've been there before. They know what it takes to get it done. Unfortunately, the Browns came up a little bit short, but, you know, kudos to the Browns for a great, great season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a stellar football game. I mean, I felt like the Chiefs had it in hand until Mahomes went out, though. So I don't know that I ever really felt like the Browns had that in control until Mahomes went out. And then the Browns really, you know, they showed they didn't deserve to win that football game when on third and 14, they let Chad Henne, a cold quarterback, rush for 13.5 yards and set up a fourth and short. You know, and then you know what I take away from that is the Chiefs coach going for it on fourth and one with a cold quarterback
and passing
the football. That was just an amazing call. And it's just crazy. You know?
Yeah.
The thing that amazed me is the Browns got away from the running game.
Yeah.
Why didn't they run Chubb down their throat?
And Kareem Hunt was killing. And he had fresh legs in the fourth quarter.
I mean.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. No, I got to concur. I mean, you know, when Mahomes went down, I was like, oh, boy, this is the Browns. But I'll tell you what, you can't take anything away from Baker Mayfield. That kid is a competitor. He's tough.
Mm-hmm.
He's strong. He's, you know, he just goes out there and gives you everything he's got every series. And, again, I got, you know, Andy Reid, the gambler. Wow, I was impressed.
Yeah, definitely. I think Baker Mayfield really gave it all out there. Didn't go out without a fight. I mean, it was a killer for those Browns fans, but when it came down to it, Chad Henne really stepped up in a big moment. I mean, it's no bigger than that. I think the Browns played a pretty solid game overall. Only holding the Chiefs to 22 points is pretty good, but just wasn't enough to get it done.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on to our picks for this week. A rundown in our picks for this week. We'll start with the NFC. That's the first game on Sunday. That'd be the Bucks against the Packers.
Is this the time on that by chance?
Yeah, it's 3:05.
Yeah, 3:05. Okay. I knew it was later. Right. Okay, so we got, you know, Tampa Bay going onto the frozen tundra up there in Green Bay. I'll kind of lead off here a little bit. The Packers, they only got them favored by 3. The over-under is 51. If I was a betting man, those two offenses, I got to take the over at 51.
I see a gunfight at the corral. I do too.
I think big questions for the Buccaneers is Antonio Brown's knee. They're saying the MRI revealed no serious injury, but you know he just did not look good this last week. Godwin's had the drops. I mean, he played decent, but he's only catching the ball at 47% right now, as opposed to Antonio Brown is catching the ball at 62%. Targets. So you still got Mike Evans, you got Leonard Fournette. So, I mean, the Buccaneers have a high-powered offense, and if their defense plays, you know, the game that they played this week, I think that's the key. You know, believe it or not, this is the first time Brady and Rodgers have ever faced each other in the playoffs. I was going to tell you that
front seven of Tampa is the one that.
Yeah. They played back in October, and it was laughable. The Buccaneers blew them out 38-10. Mm. I don't see that happening again. Mm. The Packers have been 10-2 since that game. The O-line for the Packers was just phenomenal against the Rams. I mean, Rodgers sat back there and just picked that defense apart, and he never got his uniform dirty. So, you know, and they are the highest-scoring defense in the league.
Oh.
1-2 punch of Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. Man, I hate to pick against my boy again, but I got to give my picks the Packers in a close one. I'd say a high-scoring game. I'd say both teams are going to be in the 30s, but I think Packers winning in a close one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I just cannot pick against Brady in the playoffs. I mean, you know, some things to consider. They're saying, you know, game time temperature about 20 degrees and a 40% chance of snow. You know, Brady's no stranger to that. 15-3 in games when it's 25 degrees or colder. He's used to playing in that cold weather. That it ain't gonna bother him. You know, another thing to think about, though, you know, also on the Green Bay side is, you know, can that Buccaneers defense force turnovers? You know, Green Bay this year is 11-0 when they commit zero turnovers. They're 3-3 when they commit at least one turnover. So for the Buccaneers to really have a chance, they're going to have to force some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. They can't let him sit back there and dissect the defense. They're going to have to get some pressure on him, force him into some throws, you know, get some picks. That way, you know, set up some short field for that offense on Tampa Bay. You know, I also, you know, the thing to consider, you know, we always talk about Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams for the Packers, but, you know, they also got a pretty decent running back with Aaron Jones. He's fourth in the league in rushing, you know, averaging almost 6 yards a carry. You know, it's going to be a tall task this week, you know, with the Buccaneers defense. They're number one in the league in rushing defense. So, you know, Green Bay's going to have to get some holes, get some blocks up front. Should be a very interesting game to see. You know, like Dad said, I think it will be pretty high scoring, but I'm going to have to take Tampa Bay to make it to the Super Bowl, play in their home stadium in Tampa.
Wow.
And, you know, play in the Super Bowl.
All right, very good. Matt?
Yeah, I'm with Rob on this one. I'm picking the Packers. What they did last week to the Rams, it blew my mind how easy that offense made that game look. And I just – Aaron Rodgers is hitting on all cylinders, that offense hitting on all cylinders, and even against a great defense like the Rams, they were able to do that. I don't think the Buccaneers will be able to slow them down. I think it will be a high-scoring game on both sides, but I think the Packers will be able to score more, and the Packers will take the win.
Yeah, I think that defense for the Bucs really showed it up last week. I think they showed that in big games they can step up, holding Michael Thomas to 0 catches. I mean, they're going up against the top – three receiver right now in Devontae Adams, but I really think that defense can hold up. And Brady, I mean, three touchdowns last week, and Tampa Bay scored all their three touchdowns on four turnovers made by the Saints. I really think as long as they can force some like they did last time they played Green Bay, I got to go with Tampa on this one.
We're split right down the middle. All right, very good. That'll be an interesting game to watch then. Very good.
That's our leadoff game. Wow.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good one. Mm. All right, the AFC Championship, the late game on Sunday, the Chiefs versus the Bills.
What's this? 6 o'clock? Is it?
6:40 p.m.
6:40. All right, Braden, you want to start us out?
Yeah, I mean the Bills only giving up 3 points to the Ravens. I know the Ravens are not the same kind of offense as Kansas City, but I really think that defense really showed up last game, and I think it can show up again. I mean, Diggs is on an absolute tear, 117 yards per game, like I said before. Patrick may be still a little shook up still. I mean, I know he took a big hit on that one, and when he stood up, he was looking a little woozy out there, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's not to his 100% game-ready form. So I really think that I'm going to have to go with the Bills, 34-31. Wow.
Over the defending champs. Yeah. Very good, Braden. Gutsy pick.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to have to disagree here. I'm going with the Chiefs in this game. With one caveat is if Mahomes is playing and healthy. Because if Mahomes doesn't play, it's Bills all day. But I think Mahomes has already shown it. I think he's back to practice already. He's going to be ready to go. And just that Chiefs offense is way better than that Ravens offense. They're not going to hold them to 3 points. Mm-hmm. And the Bills only put up 17 against the Ravens last week. I think that offense on the Bills side just wasn't all that impressive to me last week. I think the Chiefs have a more higher powered offense, and then their defense will be good enough to hold the Bills to no more than what they scored last week. I think the Chiefs take this one home.
All right, Colton, you want to give your
– So I'm going to have to agree with Matt. I think the Chiefs are going to take this one, barring that Mahomes plays. And I'm almost, 99% sure he's going to play, already practicing earlier this week and, not technically cleared from the concussion protocol, but he'll be ready to go. Even a 75%, Mahomes, I think, will be good enough to get it done against the Bills. They do have that high-powered offense. The Bills defense has been impressive in the playoffs so far, but I got to look at the stats from the regular season. The Bills defense, sixth in the league in missed tackles with 127. That's not good if you're going to, go up against Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. You got to make, when they catch it, you got to make some tackles. You can't not let them break tackles and get extra yardage. That for me is a big glaring stat. On the Buffalo side, they are on an 8-game winning streak. They have won every game by at least 10 points except for one. So they do have the opportunity to blow this one away. But, I think Kansas City has too big of an offense. Mahomes back there going to dissect that Buffalo defense apart. And I'm liking the Chiefs to advance to back-to-back Super Bowls.
All right. Well, the Bills haven't been to the Super Bowl since 93, the last year they lost four in a row Super Bowls. I know they're itching to get back. And like we kind of touched on early, Allen and Diggs absolutely ate the Ravens' lunch. I mean, is there anybody that can guard Stephon Diggs? You can't cover that dude with a blanket, man. He's just playing fantastic. We talked about their defense stepping up. Mahomes, what I was reading, doing some reading, he says it wasn't a hit to the head. He says it was a tweaked nerve in his neck. So I'm not even, they still got him in the concussion protocol, but I'm not even sure that's really what the issue was. He's passed all the steps so far. So I think you're going to see Mahomes play. We know what he can do. Vegas has only got the Chiefs by 3, I think probably because of the uncertainty and the health of Patrick Mahomes. But I got to take the Chiefs in this one. Braden, we're going to leave you out there on an island by yourself. Yep. The only one taking the Bills. But, I see the Chiefs. I got to agree. That offense is just too much. So we're 3-1 on that. Matt, Colton, and I with the Chiefs. And Braden with the Bills, so we'll see. I think it's going to be an entertaining weekend of football.
Definitely.
With me, it comes down, there's an X factor with me this time of year. I look at a team and their tight end play.
Yeah.
So I think you're seeing two of the best tight ends in Gronkowski and Kelce.
Yeah.
So that's my pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers and the Chiefs.
I love Travis Kelce.
It's going to be a matter of can they get open.
Yep. Definitely.
You know, I mean, what Travis Kelce have 105 catches, I think it was, or something? And
yeah, he just went for 110 yards last game and a touchdown. You know, so
I just don't, to me, that's the X factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Both big targets in the red zone as well.
Yeah, yes. I agreed. All right, well, we're going to get into something a little bit new tonight since college football's over. We're going to get into some college basketball tonight. They're, believe it or not, they're almost halfway into their season already, and, you know, we can't let time get away from us. We got to get our 2 cents in on the college basketball. So what we thought we'd do tonight is kind of each of us kind of pick the conference to go over, and Colton's going to lead us off. He's going to run down the Big 12 for us.
Yeah, so I'll start it off here, Big 12. Just looking at the standings, you got Baylor there sitting at 6-0, Texas right behind them at 5-1, Kansas 4-3, Texas Tech 4-3, Oklahoma 4-3, Oklahoma State 3-3, West Virginia 2-3, TCU 2-4, Kansas State 1-6, and Iowa State at 0-5.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of a you know, Baylor's conference to lose. You know, most, you know, in years past, it's kind of been, you know, the Kansas show in the Big 12, you know, dominating the Big 12. But this year, you know, there are quite a few teams that are fighting for the top. I mean, I know Baylor's got the lead right now, but Texas is, you know, just sitting there right behind them, you know, at 5-1 in the conference. So it'd be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. You know, the Big 12 is looking like a pretty strong conference this year. Got 5 ranked teams, so we'll see how it plays out the rest of the season. You know, a few players to kind of you know, look at, or you know, to watch. I got to start it off with you know, Cade Cunningham, the freshman guard from Oklahoma State. Not only is he leading the conference in points per game at 17.8, but is more than likely going to be the number one pick in next year's NBA draft. I mean, this kid is phenomenal, has been phenomenal all year. So we'll see against the bigger teams what he can do in March, if his team can make it in March, what he can do there. Another player to look at is Jared Butler, a junior from Baylor, third in the league in points per game, second in the league in assists, and leading the league in steals per game. So kind of a combo guard that can kind of do a little bit of everything, you know, really a leader for that Baylor team. And then another big guy, Derek Culver for West Virginia, kind of a power down there in the post for West Virginia, you know, averaging double-double actually in the league with 10.8 rebounds, 13.8 points per game. So, you know, I look for those three guys to really make an impact the rest of the season. So we'll see how it goes.
All right.
You know, some big games are kind of coming up over the next, you know, couple months. Like I said, Texas is right there behind Baylor. Those two teams match up on February 2nd. Baylor goes on the road to Texas. So that'll be, you know, very interesting to pay attention to. And then I got, you know, Kansas going to West Virginia on the 6th of February, Texas Tech going at Kansas on the 20th of February, and then Baylor plays Kansas at the end of February, the 27th. So those are going to be some big games coming up over the next month or so. You know, kind of some tournament teams that, you know, you're looking at. I would say that Baylor, Texas, Kansas, and Texas Tech are kind of locks right now. I would say there's three teams that still have a little bit of work to do. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and West Virginia have some big games coming up, so we'll see what they can do in the conference. But I think that they have to prove a little bit more in order to get into the big dance.
All right, very good. Good job. Mm-hmm. I kind of ran down the ACC for you. What the heck is going on in the ACC? They don't have a team ranked in the top 10.
No Carolina. No.
And Duke and North Carolina, neither one is ranked in the top 25. What in the heck? Is it still 2020? Because something's going on here. Those teams, both those teams being out of the top 25, that's the first time that's happened since 1982. 38 years ago was the last time those teams weren't ranked. And right now, they're on the bubble, I think, to make the tournament. Now look for Duke to turn it around, I think. Getting Jalen Johnson back You know, he played last night, wasn't a big factor, but and a loss. But look for Duke to turn it around. You know, Coach K is going to have his, if he can get into the tournament, he'll have his team ready. I think the big surprise for me in this conference, not only Duke and North Carolina, but Notre Dame. Mike Bray, where are you at? They're at the bottom. They're 1-5 in the conference, 4-8 overall. I mean, Notre Dame has been an absolute powerhouse in recent years, and they've just disappeared. Yeah, leading the ACC right now, you got Virginia, ranked 13th overall. They're 5-0 ACC play, 9-2, led by two. And I think what you're seeing is happening. These teams that were the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the North Carolina that had all these one and done players, I think you're seeing that start to come back and haunt some of these teams a little bit. Because like Virginia's led by two seniors, 6'8" Sam Hauser, 14 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, leading his team in both those stats. And then you got another senior, Jay Huff, another forward, 7'1". The senior leadership, I think, is what's doing it for those guys. And I think when they get into the tournament, I think you'll see that senior leadership lead that team a long way in the big dance. Virginia Tech right now sitting in second place at 5-1. And then you got Clemson at 3. Clemson's only 3-2 in the ACC, but they're 9-2 overall. So those are the only three teams that are ranked right now in the ACC. So we'll see if your favorites, your big teams like Duke's and North Carolina can turn around in the second half. And I think it's going to be an exciting conference to watch.
All right. Well, I got the Big Ten. You know, me being the big Buckeye fan I am, I had to take the Big Ten. They're what I watch and what I know. But let's run down the conference as we stand today. Right now, we have Michigan at number one, 7-1. The Big Ten, 12-1 overall.
How bad does that hurt to say that, Matt? Michigan at number one.
Hey, you know, in basketball, it is what it is. Yeah. We're a football school. I know it, so it happens. Number two, we got Iowa sitting at 6-1, 12-2 overall. Three, Wisconsin, 5-2, 11-3 overall. Four, Illinois, 6-3, 10-5 overall. Five, Purdue, 6-3, 11-5 overall. Ohio State, 5-4, 11-4 overall. Minnesota, 4-4, 11-4 overall. And then it kind of drops off after that. You got Indiana at 3-4 and 8-6 overall. Rutgers, 3-5, 7-5 overall. Northwestern 3-5, 6-6 overall. That doesn't make sense. I must have messed something up on that stat. Michigan State 2-4, 8-4 overall. Maryland we had 2-6, 8-6 overall. Penn State 0-5 in the Big Ten, 3-6 overall. Nebraska 0-5, 4-8 overall. So looking at this conference, I think the Big Ten usually gets anywhere from 6 to 8 teams in the big dance, and I think we're looking about the same number this year. I think probably those top six have the best shot right now. Looking at some of the leaders in the conference, people to watch, the Big Ten preseason player of the year, Luka Garza from Iowa. He's the points leader in the Big Ten, averaging 26.9 a game. He's also one of the leading field goal shooters and leading rebounders. Another name out of Illinois to keep your eye on is Kofi Cockburn. He's averaging 10.1 rebounds a game and shooting 70% a game. So I mean, there's a lot of good basketball being played in the Big Ten. I think a lot of teams can make the tournament.
Yeah, and then I got the Pac-12 basketball roundup. I mean, there's not a lot to say. Pac-12 is usually not known for their basketball, but we have 9 teams right now that are over 500. I mean, they're only 2 ranked ones are Oregon at 21, and then they are 9-2 overall. I mean, they have been on a 3-game hiatus due to COVID. They're led by their senior guard, Chris Duarte. He has 18.4 points per game, which is one of the highest in the nation right now. They also have UCLA, who leads the conference right now with 7-0 in league play, also 11-2 overall. They're ranked 24th. They have 6 people right now averaging double digits, so definitely a team-oriented, player-oriented team. They're led by sophomore Jamie Jaquez. He has 13 points per game. Their biggest prospects coming out of the Pac-12 are Evan Mobley, 7-foot center for USC. He's really lanky. I mean, he's one of those point centers that, like, the league's starting to become. He averaged 16.2 points per game, 8.3 rebounds. Can shoot the three, defend positions 1 through 5. He's definitely going to be a top three draft prospect come to the NBA. USC is right now is 11-2 and second in Pac-12 play. And then also Josh Christopher, 6'5 shooting guard from Arizona State. He's a really good guard, can create his own shot and a dagger from the three-point strike. He leads team right now with 16.5 points per game. He's also a freshman. He was a top five prospect at a high school this year. He's projected to go top five also in the NBA, and currently Arizona State's 4-6. So I think you have your Oregon, USC, and UCLA are definitely going to be locks for the big dance this year, and then Colorado and Arizona are potential to obviously get in. So we'll see how that all turns out.
All right, Colton, yeah. you want to wrap us up with the SEC?
Yeah, I'm going to take the SEC. This conference is a little bit of a jumbled mess. You know, you got three ranked teams. You got Alabama at 18, sitting at the top of the rankings. They're 7-0 in conference play, 12-3 overall. You also got Tennessee, who's ranked 6th at the moment. They did have a big loss last night to Florida, a huge loss last night, lost by almost 30 points last night. They're sitting at 3rd in the league, 10-2, 4-2 overall. LSU is actually the team sitting in 2nd, 10-3, 5-2 in the conference. The only other ranked team is Missouri. They're 19th, 9-2, 3-2 overall. I think the big surprise here is Kentucky's sitting there 5th in the league. They're 4-8 overall. They are playing better in conference play so far. They are 3-3-2, but they're going to have to pick it up quite a bit here to even have a chance to make the big dance. That's 4-8 is not a good record. Coach Cal's got to get it figured out down there in Lexington. I'm sure he will. He's been in this position before. He'll figure it out. Some players to kind of watch. You got the freshman guard from LSU, Cameron Thomas. He's leading the league in points per game at 22 points per game. Another one to pay attention to, you probably know him by his famous dad, but this guy is making a name for himself at Vanderbilt, Scottie Pippen Jr., second in the league in points per game and second in the league in assists per game. So, he's making a name for himself outside of his dad's notoriety. So good for him. Some big games coming up in the conference. Missouri's going to take on Tennessee, and also a big non-conference game to pay attention to. Kansas is going to go to Tennessee to play non-conference games. So that'll be interesting to see how Tennessee does against a different conference. For me, tournament teams are. Right now I would say Alabama, LSU, Tennessee are locks to get in. But then after that, I think there's just a lot of teams in the SEC that have a lot of work to do. Florida, they got a big win last night, so that helps their resume. Kentucky, Mississippi State, Missouri, and Arkansas all sitting there. I think that they had the potential to make the dance, but they still have to prove some stuff in some big games going forward.
All right, very good. All right, well, that'll kind of wrap up our basketball. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll keep updating that as the weeks go on. It's time for the call-in part of our show now. I'll give you out the number right now. You can write it down, 740-383-9944, and we'll start out with our giveaway. You can call in. We're going to give away two gift cards here to Burger King. The first question you got to pick the best quarterback performance from last week. You got Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes and Allen to choose from. The first caller to call in and pick the one that the Fire Brigade, you match up your pick with our pick, and you win yourself a free Burger King gift card. The second, after we get a winner on that one, then the next caller will be picking an outstanding defensive player from last week. We're giving you the choices of Devin White from the Buccaneers, Teron Johnson from Buffalo, Tyrann Mathews from the Chiefs, and Rashawn Gary from the Packers. So light up our phone boards here, 740-383-9544. And while we're waiting for callers, we got some filler. We got some other stuff we wanted to talk about. I think the big news is Deshaun Watson for the Texans. What's going on with him? I heard some crazy stuff today now that Philip Rivers has announced his retirement, that he'd be a great replacement in Indianapolis. So give me your thoughts on that, fellas, on the Deshaun Watson issue.
Yeah, that's terrible for Houston to possibly be losing a franchise quarterback like Deshaun Watson. And that guy, he's a heck of a ball player. It's going to be sad to see him go from that team. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams that want to get their hands in on it. I even heard Urban talking about trying to get him there into Jacksonville.
That'd be good.
Maybe not wanting to stick with that number one draft pick and take the known commodity over what looks like it should be great, but you just don't know. So, I mean, there's a lot of options out there for him to go to.
Clemson quarterback.
Yeah. Braden, what do you think?
I want to make it clear, you know, Deshaun Watson's a very stand-up guy, has been very, very good, guy for Houston, and I want to make it clear, he hasn't actually requested a trade out of Houston. You know, the rumors, all the sports analysts, everybody wants to speculate that he's, you know, wants out or, you know, has requested to be out, but that's not true. He has not verbally come out and said that he wants to be out of Houston, so, you know, is he upset with how the team is going? Yes, absolutely. He's not so certain on the future and you know, kind of upset of, you know, not including him in some of the, you know, picks for, you know, the GM and coach and things like that. So a little bit of disgruntled situation, but I'm hearing that, you know, in order to trade for him, teams are going to have to give up at least three first round picks to get this guy. And for me, there's only two teams right now that even have a possibility. I'm hoping he's signing up to come to New York to play for the Jets. You know how sorry that franchise has been. I'm hoping he comes play for the Jets. We need him. They got, you know, $70 million in cap space, two first round picks in 2020 and two first round picks in 2021. Other than the Jets, I think the Dolphins are the only other likely candidate that he, you know, is going to be looking at, and the Texans are going to get something in return. They got two first-round picks and two second-round picks in this upcoming draft. And so, at the same time, they're looking for a new offensive coordinator there in Miami. You know, Deshaun Watson may be able to get pick his own offensive coordinator. So, you know, I like either, you know, the Jets or the Dolphins to be the two teams that he gets traded to if they trade him out of Houston.
All right. Remember, callers, we got these gift cards sitting here. Call us, 740-383-9544. 9944, I'm sorry. Braden, give us the rundown of what you think about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've also heard this week that the Dolphins aren't some of the players inside the organization aren't sold on Tua. Apparently, he hasn't been performing too well, and this year he didn't really show out that much. So I think that Miami could definitely be a trade spot for him. I mean, I just hate to see it for Houston after the city just lost stud shooting guard James Harden. I just hate to see another star leave that town. I mean, Houston's a starving sports world over there, and I just hate to see it for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, playing fantasy GM, could you keep him in Texas and ship off Dak Prescott in a first rounder? Dak isn't happy in Dallas, so maybe you take a little disgruntled on one side, disgruntled on the other, switch him around and make some magic happen. Probably not, but might be something to think about.
I don't know that the Texans are going to get that, that. They're looking to get more, you know, draft picks, more draft capital. I think that they're, you know, already accepting that they may be in rebuild mode. So I think they're going to be looking to get more picks to try to recoup on that. I just don't think Dallas has enough to offer to them.
All right. Well, you know what I'm hearing out of the Watson camp is that the only way he stays is if they change ownership, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I think you've seen Deshaun Watson play his last game in a Texans uniform. Yeah, there's a lot of interest out there. I heard the Panthers were interested. I'm sure there's a lot of other teams that we haven't even heard about yet that are working behind the scenes. I don't know if I give up three first-rounders. Wow, that's a heavy price to pay. You know, and I do feel bad for the Texans organization. They struggled for so many years trying to find their franchise quarterback. Felt like they found him, you know, when they drafted Deshaun in 2017. You know, and now it looks like they're going to have to part ways. But hey, that's big boy sports, I guess.
Do you know what is his contract status? How long is he actually signed for?
He's signed with the Texans through 2025 at the moment. All right.
Three first rounders. I mean, at least you have them for those years.
Right.
You're not just giving those up and not having, you know, losing them in a year. So
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he's put up the stats. You know, even though Houston has not been, you know, good. I mean, they went 4-12 this year, but he threw for almost 5,000 yards and 33, you know, touchdowns this year, even though Houston was an abysmal 4-12. So, he could still put up stats even on a bad, you know, a bad team. The guy can play.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's a pickup for somebody. I think, Richard Sherman told him to go to the Jets, playing that big market up there in New York. So
he really likes the new hire up there, you know, Robert Saleh with the Jets. So, I'm hoping he signs up and gets that gangrene jersey on.
All right, very good. All right, how about we move on to the Blue Jackets? Rough start for the Blue Jackets so far. They're taking it on the chin. They finally get their home opener tonight. But it ain't going to get any easier. They get two games at home against the defending champion, Tampa Bay Lightning. They lost an overtime heartbreaker last night in overtime to Detroit. I can't help but think some of it's the controversy going on with Dubois. You know, and if it's going to cause – I say if it's that big of a cancer, he's got to go.
Absolutely, yeah. If it's hurting the chemistry of the team, then they absolutely get them out of town. But it's just sad to me. All these stars, nobody wants to stay in Columbus, and I can't understand why. It's a young franchise with lots of talent. They're building. They've been in the playoffs, the last 3 years in a row now.
They have an absolute rabid fan base. Yeah. I mean, the fans come out and support them like no other town. I don't understand it.
And they're paying. It's not like they're giving small contracts. They're offering up big money contracts to these guys, and they don't want to stay. I can't figure out why these guys don't want to stay in Columbus.
I just feel bad that they can't.
Very strange, very very strange to see that. And it's just very strange to see Dubois, sign that contract, 2-year, $10 million deal with the Blue Jackets in the offseason, right before the season started, actually, and now all of a sudden, wants out of Columbus, or has had a change of heart. I can't understand it for the life of me. Why sign the deal with the Blue Jackets if your heart really wasn't in it? But at the same time, I have to commend Tortorella. He ain't gonna put up with that nonsense of benching him in one of the games against Detroit. Good for him. He's gonna stick to the game plan. He's gonna stick to what he knows. And try to win games there in Columbus.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I agree. I think Torts is a great coach.
Right.
They might not always approve. Guys might that play for him might not always approve of his methods, but the guy gets teams to the playoffs.
Right.
We're still waiting on your phone calls there. Remember, the number to call is 740-383-9944. We got a few minutes left here. See what's going on. I'll tell you something. We'll throw a topic out there. We got a caller here.
You got a caller. Okay. All right.
Which question are they answering? The best quarterback from last week?
Go ahead, caller. Which question? You going to do the quarterbacks or the defense?
I'm going to have to go with the quarterback.
We'll go with the quarterbacks.
All right. Who's your pick between Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen?
I'm not really sure. I might have to go with Aaron Rodgers. I know he had a pretty good game last week.
We have a winner. That was a consensus pick. Yay, fired up, our first call-in winner. That was our consensus pick, Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. He went 23-36, 296 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no turnovers. So call her after the show. We'll get your address. We can get that gift card out to you. We still got another one to give away for the outstanding defensive player for last week. Let's talk about the big UFC fight this weekend. You got Conor McGregor getting back in the ring against Dustin Poirier. They fought once before back in 2014, and McGregor knocked him out in the first round. But I think they wanted to fight at Texas Stadium was where they wanted to fight down there in the house that Jerry built. But everything that's going on, they had to move the fight to back over to Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. So it's going to be a pay-per-view event, obviously. I think there's some chinks in the armor of McGregor. He's 22-4 overall, but if you look at his record, all four of his losses have been by submission. So if you get him in there against a fighter that can has some grappling skills, and Poirier has that. He's 26-6 overall, and seven of his wins have been by submission. So he has the capability to get Gregor on the down on the mat and maybe get him to tap out. Anybody else, Colton? You want to chime in on this fight?
Yeah, it should be a good one. McGregor took a little bit of a hiatus there. Mully retired. Did retire. Now coming back. Be interesting to see what kind of shape he's in. I'm hearing that he's in pretty good shape. He spent several months training overseas to get back in UFC kind of get that stamina back. Should be interesting to see how he does. I think the first couple minutes will be the deciding factor in that one. How he fares in the first couple minutes being in his first fight back.
All right. Well, we're down to our about last minute here. We wanted to reach out to you, let you know we're going to be on Monday next week. 7:15 will be our time, as our normal time, but we got to switch to Monday next week. We'll go over some more college basketball. Update you on after the games this Sunday, and we'll get our picks in for the Super Bowl. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to Fired Up. Thanks again, and listen to us next week. We will see you, folks. Have a good weekend in sports.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.